So who remembers Ironsides? Maybe I should say Ironside. Starring Raymond Burr playing a crime fighter in a wheelchair. We are going to talk about the return of the show Ironside to the fall TV lineup and other new shows, returning shows, and the shows that won't be back. What show are you looking forward to this fall? Do you have a favorite TV show? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes. It's past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September 20th. We're going to talk about what's old and what's new and what's old that's new again on TV this fall with our guest, Robert Thompson. He is a professor of television and popular culture at Syracuse University. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Well, Robin Cherry, my producer, is among those looking forward to seeing Ironside again. It seems NBC wants to see if this will be as successful a second time around.
Yeah, and occasionally this has worked. Dragnet was redone in color in the 1960s after a great black and white run in the 50s. Battlestar Galactica was remade better and a lot better than it was the first time around. Unfortunately, I don't think Ironside is going to fall into to that category. Blair Underwood, of course, is the star, but if the first episode is any indication, I'm not sure this is going to be one of those remakes that sticks. Everybody's looking at remakes now, though, after the comparative success of Hawaii Five-0, which did very well for CBS.
Well, so why was the first episode lacking?
Well, it's just, you know, what's interesting about this entire season, and I think Ironside is as good an example of this as anything, is we're about to go into the Emmys, and you look at these nominees for especially for best drama. You've got Downton Abbey and Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones and House of Cards and Mad Men and Homeland. These incredibly wonderful, dense, literary, envelope-pushing programs. And then you start looking at the lineup the networks are putting out starting this past week, and so much of it just looks like it's not even close to being in that category, which is maybe why the reason cable is dominating all these awards.
That's interesting. Well, you know, I know that I've never seen the show, but Duck Dynasty on A&E, I read, was the top-rated show of all of them. And let me just play a clip.
Okay.
There are some upsides to having an irresponsible brother. Like, every time he does something stupid, I look great just for doing nothing.
Hey, there's probably 12 women in the world who look at me and say, yeah, that's worth a shot.
It's a win-win, except for Missy.
Oh, what does that say about me? Thanks a lot.
She loses a lot.
What is that show about?
So I guess the point you're trying to make, after I get that whole list of these wonderful shows nominated for Emmys, but what people really want is Duck Dynasty, and I guess you're right. It does have these huge numbers, but it is it's one of those shows that's really appealing to watch. These people are, you don't quite get it in a clip on the radio, but these people who have this duck decoy business are interesting. They're funny. Their family dynamics are interesting. I'd actually put an episode of Duck Dynasty probably on the more amusing than maybe any of the comedies that are coming out on in the networks this fall, with a couple of possible exceptions.
So what are some of the exceptions, perhaps?
Well, there's a show that actually debuted, I think it debuted last night. It might have already played, and you've been able to see it online, so it's kind of been out there. It's been playing on airports, and that's Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Andy Samberg. By no means this is going to be, the next great classic, but it's got some it's got some potential. A show called The Goldbergs, which people are comparing to The Wonder Years, but in this case it's set in 1985, and we go back through these videotape old camcorder things. To that time. That's got some promise, being compared to a cross between The Wonder Years and Modern Family, both very, very good shows. So there's some comedies out there that seem to have potential. But then we have this long list of the oldest family or family comedy cliche in the world, which is, you know, the generations move back in together. Back in the Game on ABC, mom and son move in with a crotchety father. Dads, which has been universally disclaimed, and Asian American groups are complaining about its racism. That's the Seth MacFarlane Fox show. Two best friends, dads move in with the with each of them. Mom. Sean Saves the World, The Millers, We Are Men, all of these things are some combination of that that really sort of 80s style of comedy, which was funny once upon a time and can be funny again, but in most of these shows it's not.
Well, why do you suppose all these comedies are such failures here?
Well, I mean, you know, most shows, you look at a success rate. I think of the 20 new shows that were debuted last season, I think 8 of them are going on, something like that. I may be a little off there. So generally, you know, creating this stuff isn't science. It's show business, and most of it ends up not being very good. But we've even got shows, and this, I suppose, is even more disturbing. We've got some shows with, you know, with actors that are, you know, have done very accomplished work. The Crazy Ones has got Robin Williams. And again, one of those shows that just seems like it's coming from another time. The Michael J. Fox show, which is kind of semi-autobiographical, shows his character, a former news anchor dealing with Parkinson's disease, has some potential. He's a terribly likable kind of character. But again, you compare it to the kinds of things that are going on off of network, and it just seems so old school.
Well, How I Met Your Mother is returning for its 9th and final season. Let's take a listen to a clip from How I Met Your Mother.
Wow. When did you guys start to notice that he was kind of dumb?
Well, there was the time Nick was doing the crossword.
Hey, what's a four-letter word for cut?
Nick.
Yeah?
He's a four-letter word for cut.
What is?
Nick.
What? Oh, I got it.
Who's on first, I guess, huh? So is it time for How I Met Your Mother to retire?
Well, it is, and there's always been talk that it, you know, that it had been going to retire before this, but I am shocked at how well that show has actually managed to string along a premise you would have thought, okay, how long can they keep it up? That whole entire series is about a father who has sat his kids down to tell him the story of how he met his mother. I guess the whole series takes place, I don't know, in one really long night, although I guess he sits them down at different times. And they've managed to continue to tease out these new details. It's a show that does some really interesting things with time blends and all of that kind of thing. And I'm not sure how they're going to end this, but so far they've been pretty consistent with all of the, just when we think we're going to find out who your mother is, something else happens. It's one of those classic comedies, I think, that's probably going to play in reruns for a long, long time.
So what, Robert Thompson, do you think is going to be the I don't know, the breakout hit of the new TV season?
I don't know. I suppose if I were to look down the list right now, all of these fantasy dramas are so hard to launch. I don't think it will be one of those. If I had to choose one from the new things, I think that would probably be The Goldbergs over on ABC. That was that sentimental Wonder Years-like show. Well, not that sentimental.
We are talking with Robert Thompson, a professor of television and popular culture at Syracuse University, about the new fall TV season, which is upon us, and we're welcoming your questions for him. We're welcoming some of your favorites. What are you looking forward to seeing on TV this fall? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back. We are talking about the new fall TV season, which has some favorites returning and some new shows debuting. And we're welcoming your questions for our guest and welcoming your calls and comments on the shows that you're looking forward to. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Robert Thompson, a professor of television and popular culture at Syracuse University. Well, we just heard the Law and Order theme. Law and Order SVU will be back for its 15th season. What about Law and Order? There's a million of those. Is this the last one, Robert Thompson?
I think it's the last one standing, but that's saying a lot. The first one went 20 seasons. Mm-hmm. I think Tide Gunsmoke's 20 seasons. Goes way back to the 1980s. So for a dramatic franchise, this thing has broken all kinds of records. And, you know, it doesn't do anything fancy. It's a good old-fashioned formulaic of a procedural, was from the very beginning, but demonstrates how you don't have to be doing all of this fancy stuff to be a good show. That thing is plugged along for a long time. SVU, of course, is different from the regular Law & Order in that all of the crimes are just so freaky, but still the same general structure of the original show.
I'm wondering if it was the success of the Law & Order series that spawned shows like, let's take a listen to this.
Reporting for duty as ordered, sir.
Wrong hand, Abs.
Sorry, sir. Yeah. Permission to speak freely, sir.
You always speak freely, Abs.
I know. I just always wanted to say that. So where's my tape?
On the way to your lab.
And so am I. If I finish quickly, maybe I could get back to Habitat for Humanity. I'm doing a bunch of wiring for them this weekend.
We'll see, Abby.
Thank you, sir.
Don't call me sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
That was funny. Thank
that
you.
Plays pretty good on radio.
Yeah, that's NCIS. It's been on the air for 10 years, and apparently it's primetime's highest-rated show, even outpacing NFL football?
Yeah, this is one of those, and CSI had done that before. I mean, if you give people these, you know, solid, competently done procedurals, and one of the things that I think makes them work so well on network TV is you've got all of this other fancy programming with the serialized stories and the Under the Dome and all of this kind of thing. And sometimes those hit. Under the Dome actually did very well this year, and Lost did very well. But sometimes these shows that don't require you having seen the previous episode, where you can simply watch them get the story and get out, tend to be the ones that end up landing at the top of the ratings. All the great network serials, I can think of very few that ever became top five hits. Dallas, Dynasty, those would be exceptions, but those were also a long time ago.
Well, we have lots of calls, so let's go to the phones. Del in Fond du Lac is with us. Hello, Del.
Hello. I just have two comments. You know, you're talking about Ironsides and some of those old programs. I either watch public TV or else I watch this Me TV. I love those old shows. Of course, I'm old anyway. But still, they're a lot cleaner than the shows today. And they aren't such quirky, quirky stories. And number two, what would they do if they didn't have the laugh tracks? I'd like to shoot those guys who have the laugh tracks myself. Because, you know, they say a word and bah-ha-ha-ha. They say another word, ha-ha-ha. It's not funny.
No.
I don't know what they're thinking.
What are they thinking, Robert?
Well, laugh tracks are an interesting thing. I've always been kind of a defender of them if they're done well. Now, today's shows, most of it is the ones that you hear laughing. It's filmed before or taped before a live audience. They may boost it or adjust it a bit, but most of that is not completely artificial laughing, which, by the way, the old laugh tracks used to be. For 10 years, most of the laughter you heard on television comedy had been recorded on the I Love Lucy show. So you heard people laughing from 10 years ago at Lucille Ball laughing at your shows. And I loved laugh tracks that used to be on shows like The Love Boat. Where were those people laughing? They'd have to be in lifeboats surrounding the ship. All that being said, though, some comedies, actually, that have been shot without laughter, shot without a live audience, have really suffered as a result of it, because some of the rhythm of American humor is that kind of setup, punchline, and then the laugh gives you time to sort of let it sink in. It's kind of part of the grammar of certain kinds of joke telling. So sometimes I think it's okay. I think, Joy, you should get one of those little laugh machines.
I think we should. Let's look up a sound effect, Robin. We'll do that at the end of the show. He thinks that, you know, shows like Ironside, that's, you know, they're cleaner and, I don't know, better than shows.
This is a really good point, that if I were a network executive, I would at least be entertaining this idea, which is that up until about 1975 and really up until the 1980s, virtually everything on TV was okay for everybody to watch, except maybe the news. So you go back to those rerun stations and you see things from the era of the original Ironside. And all of that stuff was completely family-friendly, although it might have been about criminals and all the rest of it. There is virtually nothing on the air like that anymore. I suppose some of these talent competitions are fairly family-friendly, but now we've got shows aimed at certain demographics, shows aimed at the kids, entire networks are aimed at the kids, and I would think that the whole idea of introducing at least some shows, maybe on certain evenings, which would have this wide appeal, would not be a terrible idea for networks. When you look at the success of shows like America's Got Talent, which, you know, is one of the few shows everybody across generations can sit down and watch, I would think that would send a certain message to network executives.
Thank you, Del, for the call. Ryan in Madison is with us now. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. I'm talking about the TV shows for this fall.
Right. What are you looking forward to?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. On CBS and Once Upon a Time in Wonderland are both shows that I'm looking forward to. I'm very much a fan of the Avengers series. Not so much the comics, but definitely the series. That's what I'm into.
Can you tell us about that, Robert Thompson, S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to these as well. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, is created by the legendary writer-director Joss Whedon. He had done Buffy the Vampire Slayer, then it went on to do the Avengers, and this is kind of a combination of that. It's a Avengers TV spinoff. And promises to be, he always does interesting work. These shows struggle more because they tend to be serialized and all the rest of it, but I think that one has real promise. Then, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. Once Upon a Time debuted last season, and it took the idea of kind of bringing modern sensibilities into old fairy tales. Same season, by the way, that Grimm, which did it with Grimm's Fairy Tales, debuted. Once Upon a Time did pretty well, so they've now got spin-off, I guess, and a new show called Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, which takes the whole Alice mythology and does the same kind of modern treatment to it. Very stylized, the original show, and what we've seen of the one coming up, what I've seen of the one coming up, looks really good as well.
Thank you, Ryan.
A lot of fantasy, by the way, when you look at things. We've got two vampire shows, Sleepy Hollow, Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, The Tomorrow People, Almost Human, lots of fantasy. Oh, and one I forgot to mention that takes place in the 16th century.
Yeah.
That's Rain, about Mary, Queen of Scots. You know, that's going to be good.
Really?
Yes. And it's actually a, believe it or not, it takes place then. It's about that period. But it's got a real almost 90210 quality to it. It's a very interesting show, actually.
Thanks again to Ryan. George in Hammond is with us. Hello, George.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's your question?
Well, it turns out I must have been the only one in the country that was enjoying watching Siberia this summer, because they left us with the season finale with many questions unanswered, and according to the internet, the show has completely fallen off the face of the earth, and we're not going to find out what happened.
Oh, that's frustrating.
Yeah, you know, that's the trouble with these getting these great serialized shows. And, you know, serialization is by far the most fun way to do television, because it's what television can do better than a movie or a novel, because movies and novels have to end. Television shows can conceivably go on forever. Guiding Light was on for 72 years, if you count the radio times. But the problem is, you get these shows going, and if they don't make it big enough to earn a big announced final season and all the rest of it, sometimes you are just left hanging. And I think that has caused a lot of people not to want to commit to some of these things. There have been so many, the events and all kinds of others that have come out that have done a season, set up all of these interesting kinds of things, and then, as you point out, disappeared from the face of the earth. And after committing to a few of those, it's like getting gun-shy in a relationship. You know, you're hesitant to get too close to these series because you're afraid they're going to leave you, like so many have done before.
We are talking about the new fall TV season. It's upon us, and we wonder if there are certain new shows you're looking forward to or old shows that are returning that you don't want to miss, and we're welcoming your critiques and your questions for our guest. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll check news, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. The new fall TV season is underway, and more new shows will be debuting next week. Are you awaiting the return of an old favorite like Hawaii Five-0, perhaps, or anticipating a new show? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, September 20th. What is your favorite TV show these days? What are you planning to watch? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. By the way, we will also be talking about another television-related issue coming up in just about 12 minutes or so. We will talk about the Time Warner Cable Journal Broadcasting dispute and why Time Warner Cable subscribers in the Milwaukee area are likely to miss out on some of the shows that are debuting during this fall TV season. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, talking with Robert Thompson, a professor of television and popular culture at Syracuse University, about the new fall TV season. And Robert Thompson, we've talked quite a bit about some of the comedies and a little bit of some of the dramas that are going to be debuting. Let's talk a little bit about Arsenio Hall, the first African-American late night talk show host 20 years ago, and he returned to the talk show lineup last week. But I understand things aren't going well.
Well, he returned the first week. Things went great. I mean, people were expecting a big, big numbers because they were curious. And his first night out, he tied with Leno, number one. Then went down a little bit in the second day, but then went back up again. And he does a very old school kind of show. It looked very much like the one that he was doing back starting in 1989, and he doesn't look all that different. But mm-hmm. In the long run, one's going to have to see how this show is going to do.
Mm-hmm. What about HBO? A new movie is coming out about Muhammad Ali's 4-year fight against getting drafted to fight in the Vietnam War. Let's take a listen to Muhammad Ali talking about why he would not go to Vietnam.
There is one hell of a lot of difference in fighting in the ring and going to war in Vietnam. My intention is to box to win a clean fight. But in war, the intention is to kill, 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 and continue killing innocent people.
Well, that's an interesting subject for an HBO movie.
Yeah, and you know, HBO is doing all kinds of these. What they just last week did, the Marty Glickman story, Glickman. They are churning these things out. Most of them are very, very good. It almost reminds me of back in the 70s when they had the ABC Movie of the Week, and they played every Tuesday and Wednesday, and some of those were good, some were not so good. This goes back to that kind of Movie of the Week idea. They're not every week, but the total collection of documentaries and dramatic one-off made-for-TV movies that HBO has put out in the past 10 years is really, really extraordinary.
Yeah. Let's go to Dan in Drummond, who's been waiting. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Well, there are three shows. The two new ones, the ones that are coming back, of course, one was repeated, and that was Once Upon a Time, and this is the third season for that. And the other one that is coming back is Revolution, and the one that I'm looking forward to is Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. And the reason is I think I'm fascinated more by the use of the computer-generated images that go into these shows than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Robert Thompson?
Yeah, those are those Wonderland shows, those Once Upon a Time shows, have been, I think, surprisingly successful. They're also high-budget, expensive programs, but they've been one of the bright spots in ABC's schedule.
When I asked on Facebook, what's your favorite TV show, Jim said Breaking Bad. You know, there's no competition.
Yeah.
I remember you recommending that to me, too. Is this its last season?
Yeah, it's got two more episodes to go. September 29th is the final, and the last couple of episodes have been so mind-boggling. And I've never heard more people afraid that you're going to spoil it. I mean, the second Breaking Bad gets brought up, somebody is bound to jump up and put their hand over your mouth so you don't say anything. One of the greatest television shows ever made, and Dexter and Breaking Bad both ending. I think the bigger story this fall season isn't what's starting, it's what's ending.
Oh, that's too... So the best shows are ending, and we don't have anything really good to replace them.
Well, on network television, if we, you know, we've been talking mostly about network TV now because it's the fall season and that's when the networks launch their schedules. Cable launch their new shows whenever they're good and ready and whenever the mood strikes them.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to see Breaking Bad on, you know, on DVD or something because I have not watched that. And you're right, Christy Taylor, our on-air producer, was said, no spoilers, no spoilers.
Yeah, no, I talked to her before we went on the air, and I just said the words Breaking Bad, and then she almost hung up on me.
Yeah, well, it is. It's got a lot of people, especially public radio fans, are watching Breaking Bad. I'm trying to think. There's some PBS stuff we should probably talk a little bit about, like... You know, since it's our friends at Wisconsin Public Television, I understand that PBS is going to feature, among other things, a concert by Barbara Streisand. It's going to be during the Great Performances series on November the 29th. And let me see. I think I have a sample of that. Well, that doesn't even sound like Barbara Streisand to me. But anyway, anything about that concert or anything else on PBS?
Well, I'm sure Barbara will be fabulous. Mm-hmm. And she goes way back in TV. She did some really extraordinary performances when she was a very, very young woman on television when it was pretty young as well. And then finally, and I think, I know it's playing tonight, starts tonight on my PBS affiliate. Sometimes the stations are show them at different times, but the BBC four-part The Hollow Crown, which is Shakespeare's Richard II, Henry IV Part 1, Henry IV Part 2, and Henry V, starts tonight, and people have been long awaiting that. They played on BBC, I think, a year ago, if not more, and it's finally now playing on PBS starting tonight, so that's a big fall extravaganza.
I think that Robin Cherry, my producer, is going to be following this show. Let's take a listen to Scandal.
I wait for you. I watch for you. My whole life is you. I can't breathe because I'm waiting for you. You own me. You control me. I belong to you.
You own me. You control me. I belong to you.
Wow. What's that about?
This is one of the more interesting shows that's come out on network TV in a while. It's ABC, and it'll be going into its second season, serialized and it's a political thriller created by Shonda Rhimes, who did Grey's Anatomy and those kinds of shows.
Well, I guess we got to let you go because I know you have another commitment and we have another topic we're going to talk about. But you want to leave us with some final recommendations for the fall TV season?
Well, I suppose at least give a chance to Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Rain, maybe The Millers. Check out The Blacklist, The Goldbergs. Or just wait until Christmas, see what's still on, and then you won't have to watch as many things.
There we go. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's always good to have Robert Thompson with us, a professor of television and popular culture at Syracuse University. Coming up, we are going to talk about a cable television, broadcast television dispute that is causing some people in southeastern Wisconsin to miss some of their favorite TV shows. Stay with us for that. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.